Book of Joshua, chapter 14. We're going to take our text there this morning, Joshua chapter 14. I was going to read a more lengthy portion than we normally read, but for sake of time, I think I'm going to try to look through here real quickly and get the verses that I really want you to see this morning. And we'll read verses 7 and 8, okay? And we may jump down to verse number, I think we'll just start with that, end with 7 and 8. And then I'll look at some other passages while we're in the message this morning. I'll give you the whole setting for the passage here in just a moment. Let's stand together, please, in honor for God's Word. And I'll read verse 7. Would you please join me on verse 8? This is Joshua 14. And then we'll be blessed to hear Brother Rick one more time before he goes away to school. And our Bible says in verse 7, 40 years old, this is Caleb talking, okay? 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Look down at verse number 12. Let's do read this one, or I'll read this. Notice what Caleb says here. He's talking to Joshua, and he says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." We'll talk about that this morning, how to reach your mountain, how to reach your mountain. Let's have prayer, then we'll enjoy to hear the song. Dear Father, Lord, we pray and ask your richest blessings on the special. May it prepare our hearts for your word to follow. Thank you for Rick. Thank you for his life. Bless Steve. Bless Paul. And Lord, all 18 of our young people away at Bible college in different schools this fall, God grant them grace and help them be with them, I pray. And we'll look forward to the song. May it prepare us, I pray, for the message to follow. In Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you, BC.
I think of the day I met Jesus. He gave me a reason to sing. For everything changed in a moment. How I praise Him, my Savior and King. Oh, everything changed in a moment of time. The emptiness vanished. My burdens fell off at the foot of the cross, yes, everything changed on that day. My sin was forgiven, my guilt was all gone, transformed by His power divine. The light of eternity started to shine. When everything changed in a moment of time. Heaven, the Lord will receive you today. Receive His free gift of salvation. He will take all your burdens away. Oh, everything changed in a moment of time. The emptiness vanished away. My burdens fell off at the foot of the cross. Yes, everything changed on that day. My sin was forgiven. My guilt was all gone. Transformed by His power divine. The light of eternity started to shine. When everything changed in a moment of time. Everything changed in a moment of time.
Man, I enjoyed that good song. Had the privilege Monday and Tuesday this past week to be at the Agape Boarding School down in Stockton, Missouri. They have 135 boys there from all over the country, mainly from California. Boys that are in trouble, boys that have been in trouble with the law, boys in trouble with addiction problems and this and that. And I was blessed to be there because it took me back in my mind a little different situation for me. But I was at a boys' home in 1975. That's where I got saved. And that verse, that song he just sang is so true. Everything changed for me in a moment of time. Amen. And if you're not saved, it can change for you too, I'll promise you. That won't always be easy. I'll talk about that this morning. But I'll promise you it'll be different if you get saved. Amen. Wonderful song, Rick. And God bless you and the others as they go to school. Now, Caleb told Joshua in verse number 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain." And I want to speak on the subject, how to reach your mountain. This is not a dynamic message as far as, boy, gripping illustrations or funny, humorous stories. It just won't be, I don't think there'll be anything unless God brings something to my mind throughout the course of the message. But I think it could help you this morning. I know it can help you. I know it helped me. And I want to talk about how to reach your mountain this morning. Caleb said, Lord, or said, Joshua, give me this mountain. I want my mountain. And I'll tell you about that. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for how everything changes in a moment of time when we get saved. Thank you that Jesus paid the ultimate price on the cross of Calvary so that we might have our sins forgiven, our guilt erased, and Lord, enjoy a mountaintop victorious Christian life. Help me this morning, I pray. Give me a portion of your blessed power. May I have clarity of thought and speech. And Lord, may the seed of your word fall on good ground. Oh Lord, may there be very little wayside ground here today. May there be very little rocky or stony ground here this morning. And Lord, may it fall into good earth of the heart, and spring up and bring forth fruit in somebody's life, is my prayer. In Jesus' name and amen. Some are less familiar with the stories of the Bible than others. So bear with me as I give the setting of Joshua chapter 14. The book of Joshua itself contains the story of Israel conquering, claiming, and settling into the land of Canaan. This was known to them as the Promised Land. This was the land that God promised to their father in the faith, Abraham, years earlier. And they'd been down in the land of Egypt. And then God delivered them out of the land of Egypt through the man Moses. And then they'd come to Kadesh Barnea. And God gave the Promised Land to the Jewish people, the land that flowed with milk and honey. And by the way, unashamedly and unapologetically, our church stands with and for the Jewish people over in the Middle East. And the land belongs to them, not the Palestinians, not the Arabs. God gave it to the Jews all the way back at the beginning of time as we know it in Genesis chapter 12. And those that bless Israel, God will bless. Those that curse Israel, God will curse. No doubt about it. So I always remember that, okay? Their promise, the Promised Land. Now, in this chapter, chapter 14, the land is being divided between the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? Actually, 8.5 tribes, 9.5 tribes. 2.5 tribes have claimed land on the east side of the Jordan, and the other one's now going to claim land on the west side in the Promised Land. Joshua, who led the conquest of Canaan, was overseeing the distribution of the land. And while he's doing it, his friend, his companion, his peer, his buddy, his pal, if you will, Caleb, came to him to claim his portion of the land. Now, Caleb was there with Joshua over 40 years ago. He was there when he and Joshua were the only two out of 12 spies who came back from the land of Canaan and encouraged the Jewish people to go into the land and claim the land that God had given them. They were at Kadesh Barnea. They were on the east side of the land. And they sent 12 spies in the land to spy it out. And the 12 spies came back. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants, big and strong. Some saw that was the 10. Some saw God was in it all. That was Caleb and Joshua, too. A minority. And they came back with the report of, we can take it. The land flows with milk and honey. Oh, there's some giants there. Yes, we can't deny that. Giants live in the land. But God gave us the promise that we could have the land and we can take it. Let's go in and claim it. But the voices of those other 10 spies came back. The Bible says they gave an evil report. Hey, boy, you say, well, what were they saying? Were they swearing and cursing and filled with profanity? No, they were discouraging. Discouraging news can be an evil report. We can't do it. The giants are there. They're too big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't claim the land. And the multitude of the Jewish people listened to the 10 spies who had the discouraging report. They ignored the report of Joshua and Caleb. Caleb and Joshua saw the giants, but they also saw the grapes. Caleb and Joshua saw the giants, but they also saw God. And when you keep your eyes on God, even the giants look like grasshoppers. You keep your eyes on the giants, then you look like a grasshopper. That's what happened to those 10 spies. Some of you are going through some things right now that are gigantic. I'll talk about that in just a little bit. Of gigantic proportion. You say, Pastor, what's the number one thing you could tell me to do throughout this gigantic set of circumstances we are encountering? Keep your eyes on God. He's bigger than the giants. Keep your eyes on God. Don't get them on the giants. Keep your eyes on God. Caleb and Joshua, they spoke of victory. The others spoke of defeat. The others spoke of giants. Caleb and Joshua spoke of God. Caleb was 40 years old then, and listen very carefully. He and Joshua, you know what the result was of those people turning back and not going into the land of Canaan like God wanted them to? God was so upset with them. God was so angry that any man, all the men who were 20 years of age and older, when they turned back as a group of people, the men who were 20 years of age and older, God said, those men will never set foot in the promised land. He said, they'll die in the wilderness. But he said, Joshua and Caleb, my servants, they're going to go in. Joshua and Caleb were the only men who were over age 20 out of 3.5 million people who made it into the promised land. God said, all the other men who are 20 years of age and over, who have had no faith and have discouraged reports, those men are going to die in the wilderness. That was 45 years ago from the time that we read about right now. 45 years ago, that's when Caleb was 40 years old. Now he is 85 years old. He said, I'm 85. 85 years old, Joshua. And he comes to Joshua at age 85 and he says to Joshua, give me this mountain. I want my inheritance. God promised it 45 years ago, Joshua. You were there. You remember what happened. God promised me that mountain. And Joshua, I'm 85 years old now, 45 years later. My strength is not abated. My eyes are not dim. I want my mountain. And Joshua, his buddy, his pal, his friend, gladly gave it to him. I love this story. Caleb challenges my heart. I'm challenged to be like Caleb. You see, I want to be able to enjoy everything that God has for me in my life. God has some mountains for us, friend. God has some fruitfulness. God has some abundance. God has victory for you and me in this life. You see, God had the land of Canaan for all of those people 40 years earlier. But those men, 20 years old and older, they missed it. They never got to experience the land of promise. They never got to experience the wonderful blessings of God that He had intended for them to experience and enjoy. And friend, listen very carefully. You and I don't have a crystal ball this morning. We can't see the future. I mean, we know where we're going when we die. If you're saved, you've got the promise of God that when you breathe your last breath here, you'll take your next breath of celestial air. Amen. You'll be in heaven. Now, we know our eternal destiny if you've been saved. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, your eternal destiny is hell. That needs to be changed, friend, and that can be changed in a moment of time by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're saved, you know where you're headed. That's an inheritance laid up for you. I'm talking about while we're here in this life, on this planet, we don't have any crystal ball. We're unable to see what the future has for us. We don't know now what God has in store for us. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. If Jesus stays in heaven, doesn't come in the rapture, and time moves on as it will if He stays in heaven. We don't know what all God has in store for us. I want to experience whatever it is God has in store. I don't want to miss one mountain that God has intended for me to enjoy. Not one. And by the way, I do know this. I know that whatever is out there, it'll be good for me. It'll be good for you because God's a good God. Whatever's out there, it'll be right for me because God is right. And whatever it is out there, it'll be doable for me because God's will, He always provides enough power to fulfill His will. Always. You can fulfill the will of God for your life, whatever it may be. Now, I want to experience the joy that Caleb experienced. He was 85 years of age. And he reached his mountain. 85. And he got it. Something he looked forward to for 45 years. And he finally got it. Right here in this passage. Give me this mountain. Now, Caleb was able to experience this because of this one statement right here. Listen very carefully. He followed the Lord wholly. He followed the Lord wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. You saw that at the end of verse number 7 here, verse number 8. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. That statement is repeated 3 times in this chapter. You'll find it in verse number 8. Caleb says it about himself. You'll find it in verse number 9 at the end. Moses had said this very thing about Caleb 40 years earlier. You'll find it in verse number 14. Joshua said it when he wrote this book. He wrote that Caleb had wholly followed the Lord. Look at the end of verse number 14. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. By the way, two other times, once in Numbers 32 and once in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Five times the Bible says that Caleb followed the Lord wholly. Followed the Lord wholly. Now what does that mean? Look, folks, think about that. If that's what it takes to reach the mountain, every victory, every blessing, everything God has for me, if it takes following the Lord wholly, what does that entail? What does that mean? How do I follow the Lord wholly if I'm going to enjoy everything that God has for me to enjoy in this Christian life? How did Caleb do it? We find in the Bible what it means, how Caleb did it. Let me give you three things about Caleb following the Lord. First of all, he followed God fully. He followed God fully. Now, Numbers 14:24, don't turn to it. Numbers 14:24 says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land." God said Caleb had a different spirit. He had a spirit of following me fully. Following the Lord wholly means you follow him fully, completely. The word wholly means to be full of, to fill with. Here's what it means, folks. God was not an afterthought with Caleb. Caleb was full of God. Caleb's life was full of God. His life was God-centered. And I say to all of us this morning, if we want to enjoy the blessings that God has intended for us to enjoy, God cannot be an afterthought in our life. He cannot be on the back burner of our life. God will not play second fiddle to anybody or anything in my life. He'll have to be on the front burner. He'll have to be the very center of my life. And by the way, that's where God deserves to be. God deserves first place in my life, and God deserves first place in your life. And following God fully means I give Him what He deserves. My life is full of God. Following God fully means I give Him thought and time and heart and interest. Listen, every day of my life. That's what following God fully means. You say, wait a minute, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not an evangelist. I have a job. That doesn't mean you're exempt from following God fully. Every person in this room who's saved can follow God fully. It's, folks, look at me. It's developing a God consciousness every day. Every day. You see, religion, I'm talking about organized religion. You realize this? Organized religion has stolen from God that which is rightly His. You say, explain that. Organized religion says, go to the church of your choice on Sunday morning from 11 to 12 or from 9 to 10 or from 10 to 11 and you have fulfilled your obligation. Go to the church of your choice for 1 hour on Sunday morning and you have fulfilled your obligation. Come back next week, same time, same place, same hour, and oh, don't forget your donation. Amen. That's organized religion. Organized religion has put God in a one-hour box that we give Him on Sunday morning. That's not following God fully. That's not following God fully. That's following God partially. And friend, you'll never experience the full joy and blessings, the mountains that God has for you in your life unless you follow Him fully. Sunday is about God. Monday is about God. Tuesday is about God. Wednesday is about God. Thursday is about God. Friday is about God. Saturday is about God. You say you act like God should be all and everything. You got it. You say, what about work? God's in your work. God's with you on your way to work. You don't work for a paycheck, you work for the glory of God. You clean the house for the glory of God. It's about my life being God conscious. There needs to be a God consciousness every day that I live. Folks, I will not enjoy the mountaintops of blessing and spiritual victory if I stick God in a 1 hour box. I can't do that. I won't experience it. Let me give you a simple. You say, Brother Angel, Pastor, what do you mean follow God fully? God conscious, God conscious every day. Here is a very simple example, of how you can have a God consciousness every day. Read some of His Word every day. Read some of it every day. You don't have to read the entire book of Psalms. You don't have to read the whole Old Testament. You don't have to read that, folks. If you're a young Christian or if you're new to Bible, you know, get a passage in the Bible, and I can recommend that old brother Toby back there. When Toby and Dina got in church, I got the nicest letter from them a couple weeks ago, and how God has changed their life and some things specifically that He has done in their life. And I remember when Toby came as a pastor, he said, I'm a terrible reader. I didn't get the education I should have got. Remember that, Toby? You said, I just need some help. He said, what do I do? I said, just read three or four verses a day. Just read what you can. Where do I read? I gave him the book of John, Gospel of John to read, or book of Acts. You got it down in your Bible, don't you? And he wrote it down. I remember the day when he came and he said, I finished it. What next? So I gave him another book. He wrote it down. I remember when the day came. And, you know, I hope I'm not embarrassing Toby too bad, but most of us in this room could probably read faster than Toby can. But Toby, I remember when you came and said, I finished it. And you got the next book finished. And now he's got a list of books about that long in the flyleaf of his Bible. Crosses them off as he gets through them. Little by little, sometimes four or five verses a day. That's all it takes sometimes when you're starting out. That's how you develop a God conscious. Bite off what you can chew. Get you a half of a chapter and find some time where you can just open this book right here and read a few verses every morning. It'll help develop a God consciousness in your life. This is not a Sunday book. This is a life book. This is a marriage book. This is a home building book. This is a student building book. This is a work building book. This is a great book. It's an everyday of your life book. Journey. Find a little time. Number two, read the Bible for just a few minutes. Find a little time to pray. You say, pray. God. Oh, yes. I got to be somewhere where the lights are out and I got to fold my hands and get on my knees. No. Read the Bible. People prayed everywhere. Nehemiah prayed in the middle of his workday. In the middle of his workday, he said, so then I prayed. Jonah prayed from the belly of the whale. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being on your knees. I think that's good when you can. Sometimes I lay on my belly. Sometimes it doesn't hurt us to lay on our face and look at the dirt and remember that's where we came from. Humble ourselves before God because we get so lifted up in ourselves. And pray. But you don't have to be there to pray, friend. If the only time you have is driving to work, get you a 3x5 card. Put the name of your wife on there, the name of your husband. Put your children's name. Put your mom and dad's name. Put the church on there. Put something. Say, dear God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for changing my life in a moment of time. Help me today be an honor to honor and glorify you in all that I do. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for, Lord, the good sleep I had last night. Thank you for the provisions. Lord, please bless my wife. Talk to God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God. Reading your Bible is God talking to you. Prayer is you talking to God. I'm talking about how to develop a God consciousness. How else can I develop a God consciousness? Pray at every meal. They say, oh, that's so simple. How many are doing it? I don't mean in here. Go to a restaurant. Count the number of families you see praying before they eat. Hey, praying before they eat. They're eating before they get in their seat. Set the tray down. Huh? I'm talking about in a restaurant, when your food is served, before you go to the buffet line, let's all pray. I'm talking about a home around the kitchen table. Dad, hold mom's hand, hold child's hand, children hold each other's hands, get around the table. Before you pray, got the food on the table ready to eat, dear Father. And it's not time to pray for around the world, for everybody to get, Lord, thank you for these hamburgers, blessing to our body, in Jesus' name, amen. That's all it takes. Acknowledging God's blessings. And if you want to pray for a missionary family, that's great. Want to pray for somebody like Debbie Maxwell, whose precarious health situation, that's fine. But pray at every meal. That develops a God consciousness. Teach your children. If you want to teach your children, let's put our hands in our lap. We're going to thank God for this. Little bitty kids, we're going to thank God for this food. What does that do? It puts it in their mind. God, God, God. That's following God fully. Following God fully. Play Christian music in your home. Let the songs about God and Jesus and salvation and heaven, let them fill your home. It'll put a God consciousness on your heart. And then, if you can, if you're at home at night, before the kids go to bed, sit down for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Grab the wife, the husband, the children, and sit down and say, okay, let's think here just for a minute. God's been good to us today. Let's thank Him for a good day. And kids, the other day I was reading in the Bible over in Proverbs. Boy, I saw this verse. And you know what? God is good. God is right. Boy, I want our family to honor and glorify God. Let's pray before we go to bed. You say, that's following God fully. Developing a God consciousness every day of your life. Being at church will help you develop that God consciousness. You'll learn the Bible. You'll learn some songs that you can sing. I've used this illustration all the time. Far too many people approach their Christian life like this. If you can imagine a pie, that's not hard to do. Amen, gentlemen? Amen? Can you imagine that peach pie that mom, that your wife's got ready for you when you get home today? Amen? Okay, let's move on. Amen, all right? But imagine that pie. And some people say, well, here's this pie is my life. And I've got work as a piece of my pie, and I've got recreation as a piece of my pie, and I've got sleep as a piece of my pie. And I'm getting, you know, and then God is a piece of my... God is a what? A piece of your pie? That's the wrong approach. The pie belongs to God. So everything in my life is in some fashion attached to God. That's a God-conscious life. That's following God fully. See, it wouldn't hurt you, men, before you walk into your place of business just to utter a prayer. Lord, help me to be a good employee today. Help me be a good worker today. As a lady washing the dishes, pushing the vacuum. God bless my children at school today. Bless my husband at work today. Help me, Lord, to be a good... That's a God consciousness. Following God fully. That's how Caleb experienced the mountains in his life. He followed God fully. God, I didn't say that about Caleb. God said it about Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord. Wholly followed God fully. Let me move on. Let me give you two more. Number two. He followed God fully. Number two, he followed God fearlessly. He followed God fearlessly. Look at verse number 12. And this is where I want to spend just a few moments this morning, and I'll finish up with number three. But I want this to be a help to some families here this morning. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof, verse number 12. The Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. What's that? Whoa. Anakims, who's that? They are giants. Over 9 feet tall. Caleb said, Joshua, you remember, we heard the same report. You and I saw them. We saw the giants. Excuse me, wait, time out. Giants in the land of promise? I thought the land of promise was a land of victory and blessing. It is. It doesn't mean that it won't have battles. It is a land of victory. It's a land of blessing. But there will be giants to face. And Caleb said, Joshua, I want my mountain. You remember how we saw the giants, but I'm not afraid of them. He followed God fearlessly. Here he was. He was going to receive his land. He would have to fight. He would have to defeat some giants. But he was ready to face that fearlessly. Now listen to me. I'm not saying that following the Lord fully will always be easy. It won't be, and there will be some giants to defeat. There will be giants of disappointment. There will be gigantic circumstances that come along, and Satan will use them to distract you from following God. Heartaches, tests, trials, some of gigantic proportions. You say, what do I do? You follow God fearlessly. You don't turn back. You follow God fearlessly. Let me show you how Caleb followed God. You say, boy, he must have been a pretty confident man. He was, but he was not confident in himself. This is not a pull yourself up by your bootstraps type mentality. I can do it. I can do it like a little engine that could. I think I can. I'm not talking about that, folks. We're talking about confidence in somebody else beside yourself. Caleb could face the giants fearlessly and follow God fearlessly because he had confidence, first of all, in God's presence. Look at verse number 12. Look at what he says. He says, the Anakims are there. And the cities were great and fenced. Then he says this, if so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. Caleb said, as long as I am assured of God's presence, it'll be okay. If God goes with me, it'll be okay. Is God going with you? Yes, he is. What did he say in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. And when the giant circumstances show up, when the disappointments, when the heartaches, You don't have to fear, friend. You can follow God fearlessly because you have the promise of His presence. If God be for us, who can be against us? And that's not just a little feel-good say, well, that feels good. That's the truth. Truth of the matter is, you and God make a majority in every situation. You've heard that said before. And that's the honest truth. It's not just a little saying. It's true. God is with me. And as long as I have the promise, if I have the presence of God, I can follow Him fearlessly through the circumstances, through the difficulties. I can keep my chin up and keep pressing on. I can follow Him fearlessly if He's with me. If He's with me. Isn't that true about your kids? You ever get in places where your kids are a little bit overwhelmed and scared? Sometimes you know what you feel them doing? Parents, if you're walking through some place where they get just a little bit scared or a little bit anxious, a little bit overwhelmed, all of a sudden you feel that what? What are they feeling for? Feel for your hand. That little child's heart, the touch of mom or dad's hand on theirs calms all their fears. I tell you what, when the circumstances get overwhelming and gigantic, you know what you need to do, friend? To feel for the touch of His hand. He's there. Like I preached last week, He's in that valley. He's the lily of that valley somewhere. He's there. So Caleb said, I'll follow God fearlessly because of His presence. Because of His presence. That's not all. He said, I can follow God fearlessly because of His promise. Look at the end of verse number 12. Look at the last thing he says. As the Lord said. He was assured of God's presence. He was assured of God's promise. Caleb said, hey, he said, look. Now, we don't appreciate this. We don't have enough faith. Caleb said, Joshua, what do I have to fear? God said, it's mine. That settles it. That settles it. God said it. And God cannot go back on His word. God cannot break His word. God will not neglect His word. God always keeps His word. God said, it's mine. If I have that promise, I'll follow God fearlessly because God keeps His word. He does, friend. God keeps His word. The promises in the book are yours. The promises in the book are mine. Whatever God said, you can count on. Take it to the bank. Caleb said, if God said it, that's it. See the little bumper sticker? God said it. I believe it. And that settles it for me. Isn't that cute? Truth of the matter is, you can take out that middle part. God said it, and that settles it, whether you and I believe it or not. He followed God fearlessly because of God's presence and because of God's promise. Now listen, he followed God fully. He followed God fearlessly. Number three this morning, he followed God faithfully. He followed God faithfully. Follow me just for a minute here. How old was he back here at Kadesh Barnea? 40. How old is he now? 85. 85 minus 40 is what? 45. 45 years. You know what Caleb was? Faithful. Faithful. 45 years. And by the way, do you know where those 40 of those 45 years were spent? The wilderness. How fun is that? Running out of water. Running out of food. Over and over again. Snakes come into camp. Enemies come. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But all through those 40 years, Caleb stayed faithful. He just was faithful. He was faithful for 45 years. One of these days, I'll get my mountain. One of these days, I'll get to the top promised land. One of these days, I'll put my stakes in that land. I will faithfully follow it for 45 years. Now, I did this week, but you can check me up if you want to. I searched the Bible to look for anything huge that Caleb did. What I came up with? Nothing. He never killed any giants with a stone and a slingshot. He was never thrown into a burning fiery furnace and came out without even the smell of smoke on him. He was never thrown in a den of lions. He was never swallowed by a whale and then preached a citywide revival. He was never a king. He never sat on the throne. He didn't have the priesthood. You say, what do you say? He was a simple servant of God who just faithfully followed the Lord all his years. And God said, you know what? I like that. I'm going to give you that mountain. You know what's so good about faithfulness? Everybody's capable. What if God gave it to him because of his IQ? It was off the charts. Some of us wouldn't be able to enjoy it. What if God gave it to him because of his personality? Or because of this? Or because he had a good mom and dad? It was for none of those reasons. Caleb got his mountain because he was faithful. Look, I can be faithful. He can be faithful. You can be faithful in this section. From front to back in this section, you can be faithful. Every child, every teenager, every college-age student, every adult can be faithful. Every one of us can follow God faithfully, faithfully, faithfully. Through the wilderness, through the good times, through the dry times, through the blessings, through the defeats, through the victories. Just be faithful. 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 God always blesses faithfulness. May God find us faithful. He did no stupendous work. No work that would just go, oh. He simply followed faithfully. Years ago, I think when Hannah graduated from high school, we planned and saved, and we decided we're going to take a trip because, boy, when they go off to college, I'd seen it happen too often. When the kids start going off to college, boy, the family's tough to get back together. So I said, we're going to go out west. And I love sightseeing. I love being those, you know, why do I need to go to Israel? The United States of America is beautiful. It is. And we went to through the Badlands in South Dakota. Remarkable. Went to Custer's Battlefield. That was incredible. There in Montana. Imagining that fight took place right there. General George Custer. Went to Devil's Tower. Anybody here been to Devil's Tower? That is a remarkable place. I mean, tell you. Went to Grand Tetons, and we went to the Yellowstone National Park, and one of the things we got to see there was Old Faithful. Now, and they get you a little brochure, and they tell you, what is it, every 65 minutes? I forget. It's about every hour or every hour and 5 minutes. And boy, as the time approaches, you know, we made sure we were at that part of the park, you know, man, cars everywhere, and bleachers set up. You ever been there? Bleachers set up to sit on, you know. And popcorn, candy, hot dogs. No, I'm just teasing, you know. But cotton candy here. But yeah, you sit in these bleachers, and you know, and here it comes, you know. And you look at the clock, and you look at the clock, and I'm telling you, man, the video cameras are rolling those pictures or snapshots. And they're clapping, you know. Sprays up in the air for I don't know how long, you know, finally subsides. Everybody leaves. And then 20 minutes later, here comes the people again. Bleachers fill up, video cameras out, cameras. Hey! 20 minutes later, and everybody leaves. 20 minutes later, here they come. Look at me. How long have they been doing that? Been doing that a long time, folks. Years. People come, people leave, people come, people leave, people come, people leave. I'm doing it wrong. People come, people leave, people come, people leave. I have them going the opposite direction. Amen. Years and years and years. And people drive miles and hundreds of miles like we did, even thousand miles to see the Old Faithful. It's incredible. Rare. I wonder if that's how it is in God's work. I wonder how many Old Faithfuls there are. Just steady Eddie. Plowing along. Never setting any records. Never breaking any records. Never doing anything stupendous as far as man goes. Sometimes even looking like a life of defeat, but God sees it differently than you and I see it. God sees faithfulness and faithfulness and faithfulness and faithfulness and faithfulness and faithfulness. And buddy, if you want to enjoy the mountaintop, the greatest thing you can be is faithful. Faithful. That's how to reach your mountain. That's how to enjoy the promised land. Follow God fully. Develop a God consciousness about not a one-hour box, but a God consciousness. Follow God fearlessly because of His presence and His promise, and follow God faithfully. And you'll get your mountain. He said you will. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Wonder who's here with us in the next 2 or 3 minutes. I want to just ask 3 or 4 questions, if you would please, while your head's bowed and eyes closed. Listen carefully to these questions. How many say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven, no doubt in my mind about it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you lift a hand, please, if that's your testimony this morning? Would you please be honest before God? Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there one here this morning or more that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved? Talk about knowing where you're going to spend your eternal destiny. I do not know where I'm going when I die. I have no assurance of heaven, and that concerns me. I am not certain I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I will if you'll lift your hand right now. Nobody's looking. From side to side, front to back. See a small girl's hand, small child. God bless you. Somebody else, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pastor, pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? We pray that the Lord will continue to work on the heart of children, bring them to Christ at a very early age, work of conviction and salvation. If you're not sure that you're saved, we have folks that can take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized scripturally in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? I've not been. God bless you. Anybody else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you came prepared to follow the Lord in believers' baptism this morning, come right now while we wait, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And our folks are ready to help you get prepared for baptism. That's right. God bless you. Anybody else, if you've not been baptized, we can have folks talk to you about it. That's the first step of obedience after you get saved, is to get baptized. Someone else this morning? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I was encouraged. I was spoken to. My heart, the Lord touched it a couple times this morning. I could hear your voice with my ears, but inside in my heart, the Spirit of God was stirring me a little bit. Pray for me concerning this matter of following God fully, fearlessly, and faithfully. I want to enjoy the mountain. I want to have that promised land life that God has for me. I've been a little lax, or I've been a little fearful. I need to develop a God consciousness just somewhere and throughout the course of the message. Something rang a bell in my heart. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand this morning all over the room? That's a lot of hands. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Let me encourage you, if the Lord God is kind enough to speak to you during the course of a message, then be considerate enough of Him to use the old-fashioned altar to kneel and pray just for a moment, acknowledging, God, you spoke to me this morning. Somebody else, Pastor, pray for me. I should have raised my hand just then, but I didn't, because God did speak to me about something specifically. Would you raise your hand? Join these. God bless you. Somebody else, I should have raised my hand before we pray. All right. Dear Father, bless, I pray, the message to our hearts this morning. I pray that, dear Lord, all of us, every Christian in this room, will realize the full potential of blessings in our lives. Lord, may we not miss it as many of those people did in the Old Testament. They turned back. They did not get the promised land. Lord, Caleb did because he followed you fully, fearlessly, and faithfully. May we do the same. And bless these that raised a hand this morning in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. As these ladies play this morning, would you want to step out and come? You raise your hand. God spoke to you in a certain specific manner this morning. Now's the time for you to speak back to Him. Follow God fully. Follow God fearlessly. Follow God faithfully. Follow Him. Through the good times, through the bad times, through the defeats and the victories, through the gains and the losses, you follow God faithfully. Develop that God consciousness in your home, in your life, with your children, in your marriage. Follow God this morning. Thank you. bowed, eyes are closed. Follow the Lord. Follow Him. I can't kill a giant with a slingshot and a stone. I don't know if I could go to a den of lions. You don't have to necessarily. Caleb never did. He followed God.